Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Hey, My City, so glad you are tuning in with us for this online experience. And it's a really interesting time in our world right now. So much going on, so much fear covering really planet Earth. And the coronavirus has affected so many people and is now beginning to make us have adjustments to the way we're doing church. And so today, we have church going on at our downtown location, but we also have this online experience. And I want to be honest with you, over the next several weeks, we're going to have to make adjustments. We're going to have to stay nimble as a church, but here's our promise to you, whether we are meeting downtown and online or we're 100% online, we are going to keep on doing groups midweek. We are going to keep on pursuing the vision that God has given us because we want to be a church full of faith during this time and be the salt and the light to the world. And I'm believing this, that today God's going to put faith in your heart. He's going to speak to you in a brand new way. Speaking of faith, we are in the middle of our Vision Builder series, and I was asking God, with all this going on, God, do you want me to continue in this Vision Builder series? And God said yes, because right now I need my church to be full of faith and full of vision. See, vision looks past our temporary pain to the best future God's going to bring our way. And God is going to get us through this. This is just the beginning of a great turnaround I think we're going to experience in our world right now. And I'm believing that today you're going to have faith interjected in your heart. This last Friday night, leaders of our church and so many others got together at our annual Vision Builders Gala, and over $300,000 was pledged to be given above and beyond people's normal giving towards the vision. I want to celebrate that right now, man. So proud of our church, and we're going to continue to pursue the vision that God has put in our hearts. Also, would love for you right now, if you're watching this, to pull out your phone, or maybe you're on your phone, share the link to this, because I think our world is going to need this message. Where people are surrounded by fear, they need faith put in their heart. So live.mycitychurch.cc, share it on your social media platforms. I think people are going to be blessed by this message. So, well, if you got your Bibles with me today, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, one of my favorite passages of scripture, it's the parable of the talents. And here's what Jesus says. He says in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to their own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came to settle accounts with them." And today, as we continue in our Vision Builder series, I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought: talent is never enough. Talent is never enough. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Wherever we are today, whether we're driving in a car, whether we're at our house, God, you are going to speak to us. So we pray that you would fill our cars, our rooms, and our lives with your presence, Lord. And I pray that this message would break fear and would release faith in people's lives. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, hey, I got a question for you today. Have you ever had a bad dream? A bad dream. I think all of us have had bad dreams, and bad dreams are so much different. Like, some dreams are good dreams, and you ever had those dreams where you kind of don't want to wake up? You're like, man, that was a good dream. I wish I would have just kept on sleeping. But we've all had the other kind of dreams that are bad dreams that we want to wake up out of. And one of the interesting things that happens to me frequently or every once in a while is when I'm having a bad dream, I start to try to wake up out of the dream, and you're stuck in this moment where you're like in between two worlds. Like, you have an awareness of reality, but you're kind of still in the dream, and all of a sudden you realize you're trying to move, but you can't. You're like, you're paralyzed, and there's nothing more scary than not being able to move when you want to move. And I know there's scientific reasons why this happens, is the body produces chemicals that kind of helps us sleep still so we don't like fall out of bed or hurt ourselves. And But as you're coming out of that bad dream, you're kind of still in that paralyzed state, and there's nothing more fearful than that. It's like fear grips you, and you want to be able to cry out. You just want to make forward progress. You can see even the reality around you, but you just feel stuck where you're at. And I was thinking about that and how that applies to the vision and the future God has given us as a church and the vision and the future God has given you. Is fear plays a pivotal role in blocking the vision that God has put in your life. If you look around our world right now, as fear has gripped the globe, what do we see? We see forward progress stopping and being inhibited so we can't move forward. And if we will remove the fear and we will lift our eyes up and get a bigger vision, I think what we'll start to find in our life is that paralyzed state that we feel will begin to lift. See, fear will do a lot of things to you, but here's one of the things fear will do. Fear will allow you to see what should be, but will tell you it never could be. It's like that state when you're waking up out of a dream. You can kind of see reality around you, but you're paralyzed to actually move into that reality. And fear will tell you, hey, you should be successful. You should have a vision. You should build that business. You should invest in that ministry. But it'll also tell you, hey, just because it should, it probably couldn't be. It's going to tell you the lie. It's going to try to dictate and intimidate you. And I think fear is a thing in our world right now that's being talked about a lot.
I think the reality is that so many people have different definitions of fear. Is fear a feeling? Is it an environment? Is it based on something that happened or something that might happen? And so today I want to give us a definition of fear that we're going to work from that I think is going to help you understand how to be released in the vision God has given you. And here's what fear is. Anything that intimidates the vision of God. So if God has given you a vision, anything that speaks to you, anything that intimidates you from becoming all that God has put in your heart, that is fear. And fear is the great enemy of vision in your life. And one of the things I found about fear is that fear speaks to us. Fear is a voice in our head that causes us to be paralyzed before we take bold action. Here's some of the things that fear says to us. Fear says, you're not good enough. It says, I know you may think God has called you to do something great, but the reality is he's probably got the wrong guy. You're not really good enough to pull that off, so maybe that's good for somebody else to believe God for big things, but the reality is you're not good enough. And it'll say things like this, if you try, you're gonna fail. So it's good to have a hope or maybe even a dream, but to put a plan of action together, to put a vision, to put legs to the vision, you might as well not even really try, because if you try, you fail, and people are going to mock you, you're going to be disappointed, and you're just going to be more disappointed than where you started. So just don't even try, because if you try, you'll fail. It says things like this, if you fail, you will be punished, because if God gave you a vision and you try to set out, what happens if it doesn't go right? Is God punishing you? Is this an element where you're just gonna live a failure your whole life? So, you know, if I fail, like I'm gonna be worse off than I started. So maybe I just shouldn't even start at all. But the reality is that there is an antidote to fear. Fear and faith are the opposite sides of two coins, and faith has a language that will speak to you as well. And here's some of the things that faith says. Faith says, I have what I need to win. If God has called me to it, I have everything I need right now to begin to pursue that vision. I'm not waiting for a special day. I'm not waiting for blessings to fall from heaven. I'm not waiting for specifically just an open door. But if God has given me a vision, I have what I need to win in life. Faith says things like this. If I fail, I will learn and try again. It wants us to understand that failure is a tutor towards success. That God doesn't want you to be intimidated or fearful of failure, but in fact, if you have a big vision from God, if you are a vision builder, hear me loud and clear, failure is gonna be a big part of your world. The difference is are you gonna fail and are you gonna learn and try again and get better? Here's some of the things that faith says to us. Faith says, punishment is not trying at all. There's nothing worse than having a vision in your heart and not pursuing it. The Bible says that hope deferred makes a heart sick. And I see a lot of people that are avoiding the risk of vision, but they are dying on the inside. They are experiencing the punishment of just not pursuing their God-given vision, because really, punishment, it's not trying at all. And faith wants you to hear, you've got what it takes. You may fail, but you're gonna pick yourself up and do it again. And friends, you gotta try. You can't stay where you are. The reality is, if we're gonna win this battle of becoming a vision builder, of overcoming fear with faith, you're gonna have to do something. And here's what you gotta do. You must replace fear with faith if you are gonna build the vision. If God has given you a vision, if God has given our church a vision, we are going to have the discipline to understand that fear is going to try to speak to us. But when fear speaks to us, we're going to speak back in faith. We're going to replace fear with a spirit of faith, a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And we're going to look into the future with great expectation. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, right now in our world, this is something I want people to grab a hold of. Right now, fear is trying to dictate to our society how we will live, what we believe about the future. But the church of God has to be full of faith, looking into the future, saying, you know what? This too shall pass. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God's with me. God is building a faith in me that will overcome the fear that is circling around me. That is what it means to be a vision builder. Because if you got a big vision from God, can I tell you, fear is going to try to oppose it. Fear is trying to oppose the church worldwide right now. And God is looking for some people that says, you know what? If we can't gather big, you know what? We'll gather small. They can't silence the church. This thing can't stop the church. It can't silence the church, because the church is not a building. It's not even a big gathering. A church is its people. And when the people of God understand that fear will not rule our lives, we will find a voice of faith that will make a difference in the world. I don't know if you believe that today, but I believe that. And as we lean into this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 25, I'm reminded of this story, the parable of the talents. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture in the Bible. And the story goes like this. A master, which is a representation of God, comes to three servants. That's me and you. To one servant, he gives five talents or five bags of gold. To another servant, he gives two bags of gold. And then to the other servant, he gives one bag of gold. And the guy with five, he's wise and smart and has some hustle to him. So he goes out and begins to buy, sell, and trade. And he takes five and he turns it into 10. What is he? He's being fruitful. He's being faithful with what his master has put in his hand. The guy who has two, he does the same thing. He turns two into four. But the guy with one gets fearful. And rather than letting faith rule his life, he lets fear rule his life. And here's the outcome. He takes what his master has given him, and he takes and he buries it in the ground. And because he doesn't want to lose it out of fear, so he just buries it in the ground. But the story goes on. The master comes back and says, give an account for what you did with what you had. And the reality is that the guy who only was given one didn't do a whole lot. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from this story about how fear can paralyze the vision God has given us. And not only that, how to overcome fear with faith in our life. And I think the first thing that we can learn from this story is simply this, that comparison kills faith. Why does comparison kill faith? Well, let me tell you why comparison kills faith. Comparison kills faith because the guy with one started looking around at what everybody else got. He started looking around and he goes, I was only given one talent, but the other guy was given two, and the other guy was given five. How is this fair? Can I tell you today, I know this isn't popular in our culture right now, but God is not into fairness, he's into faithfulness. He doesn't care where you start, he cares what you do with what you have when you start. And this guy starts to look around and compare himself to everybody else. And in the middle of that comparison, he loses sight of what is actually in his hands. Yes, you may only have one talent and other people have five, but here's the good news. You've been given one talent. And if you spend your time looking at what everybody else has in this world, you will never look at what you have and look at it and say, this one talent can turn into two. These two talents that I now have can turn into four. These four talents can turn into eight. And you begin to multiply and grow the vision that God has for you. Here's what I need you to understand. You have everything in your hand to fulfill what God has put in your heart. Can I tell you, if you got a vision from God, God has not ill-equipped you. He's not up there playing games. He's not like kind of joking around like, I'm going to give them a big vision, but I'm not going to give them anything they need to accomplish it. In fact, God always gives us a vision so we stop comparing to everybody else. We know that God has something unique, beautiful, and full of faith just for us, and we start to not look at what's going on around us, and we start to own what is in our hands, and we start to look at that thing that's in our hands and say, this thing can get better, it can grow, it can be developed. Listen, you have everything in your hand to fulfill what God has put in your heart. I remember when I first started to learn this, it was during our church planting journey, and I had several friends that were planting churches at the same time. We're about 2.5 years into our church planting journey right now, and I had different friends that were planting churches at the same time, and we'd get on the phone and talk about what was going on, and we'd talk about how we were doing and how we were pacing, and I'd start to look around at what other people had, and they'd raised more money than me, or some people had bigger teams than me, and then all of a sudden, as I begin to compare myself, all of a sudden, I would feel fear and anxiety come over me. Oh my gosh, I'm not keeping up. They're doing a better job than me. God, if I had what they had, I might be able to build what they're building. And all of a sudden, in a time of prayer, God stepped into my world and he says, Jesse, with that mindset, you're never gonna win. Because they may have something that you don't have, but you have something that they don't have. You have the call of God on your life for this city, for this time, and you've got to quit comparing because comparison is killing your faith. And all of a sudden, I stopped looking around. I kind of shut off to what other people were doing, and I got laser focused on what was in my hand. What was in my hand was our launch team. What was in my hand was the budget that we had, and I began to dream bigger, and I said, God, you're gonna take what is in my hand, and you're gonna help me to multiply it. It's gonna continue to grow, and I'm not gonna allow comparison to kill my faith. Because here's the reality, the more we compare, the less we develop. And that's the second point that I want us to grab a hold of is that development is what builds faith. A lot of people think that you get faith like prepackaged, like one day you're gonna pray and you're gonna get all the faith that you're ever gonna need for the remainder of your life. It's just not the way it works. In fact, faith has to be developed, which means that there is a moment where you don't feel like your faith is strong enough, but you take that faith and you get up and you begin to do something with it. Can I tell you today, that's what the guys with 5 talents and that's what the guys with 2 talents did. Imagine if the guy with 2 talents kept on looking at the guy with 5 saying, well, that's not fair. I didn't get 5. I only have 2. He has 5. Why do I only have 2? No. He didn't do that. He didn't worry about the guy with 5. What did he start to do? He started to look at the 2 he had in his hand. And what he started doing was working a development process. What? I'm going to go out. I'm going to try to multiply. I'm going to try to develop this. And I'm going to learn from my mistakes. Can I tell you, part of the development process is this thing called failure. If you are failure adverse, your vision is always gonna be very, very small. In fact, I would call it not a vision, I would call it a reflection of your past. Because the only way that you move into a bold future is to move into the unknown. It's to take a risk and say, I don't know if I'm gonna win at this, but I believe God's called me to it, which means I'm gonna face failure even in the voice of extending fear coming my way. I'm gonna rise above it. I'm gonna be a vision builder and I'm gonna learn to fail. Here's the thing that I've learned about failure. Failure is not final. Failure's not final in your life. Like if you fail tomorrow, that's not the end of the story. It may be a paragraph in one of the chapters. I watch people make failure into the end of the world. It's the whole book. Can I tell you, like, there's more that God wants to write to the story? And could it be that this part of failure was God's test and God's penmanship to put in your heart what you need not to fail in the future? See, failure, it's not final. Here's the other thing failure is not. Failure is not fatal. I've seen people fail in a relationship and, oh my Lord, the whole world is over. I'm never gonna be okay again. I've heard people that fail and go through something and they're praying that their life would just end because they're overwhelmed by failure and the voice of fear is riddling them. And they just think, man, it would be better if I just wasn't alive? Can I tell you today, I think more people are locked in depression because of failure. And because fear comes on the backside of failure and tells them, you have no value, you're worthless, you're never gonna amount to anything, you might as well not be around. Can I tell you today, if you're struggling with that, I wanna remind you, failure is not fatal. You can fail 1,000 times, for the Bible says a righteous man falls down 1,000 times, but he gets back up. Failure will teach you things. It's not fatal, and here's the other thing, and here's the most important thing. Failure is not futile. It's not pointless. A lot of times we go through difficult times. Like right now, in our world right now, we're going through this coronavirus, and people are looking around going, why is this happening? Like, what is going on? What happens if we started to ask a different question? Rather than asking why this is happening, why don't we start to ask ourselves, what are we supposed to learn while this is happening? See, a wise person takes every opportunity to learn to be a better version of themselves for the future. Can I tell you, failure is not futile. It's only futile if you don't learn from your failures. And God doesn't want you to be intimidated by failing. Listen, we are gonna try things as a church. We're gonna plant churches, we're gonna plant campuses. Some are gonna do well, some may not do well. But I'm not worried about that because I got a vision in my heart, and if something fails, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take time to learn from it and never repeat that mistake again. You know what I found is great visions are probably built on 1,000 failures. But it's built by a leader or a person who's learned to learn from their failures, not repeat the pain of the past. And I think it's so important that you understand that failure, it's not final. Failure is not fatal. And failure is not futile. Failure is helping to develop your faith. So don't be worried about it. That's what these guys with the 5 and 2 talents got. They said, hey, we're going to go out and do something with what we have. We're not gonna be worried about if we make a mistake or we fail. We're actually going to get up and do something with what we have because we understand the only way to take what is in my hand and build it into the vision God's given us is to develop it. See, the last thing that I think we can learn from this great parable is this, that faithfulness is the engine of faith. So if you have to develop it, you have to be able to rationale in your mind that what God is after is not perfection. He's not after you having a perfect plan. What is he looking for? He's looking for faithfulness. He's just looking for faithfulness in your life. When Jesus returns, it's this beautiful picture of the master returning to see what his servants have done with what he's put in their hands. And the Bible says for those of us that enter heaven, we will hear these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. See, God isn't looking for you to always get it right. He's not looking for you to always be successful. But he is asking a question. Are you being faithful with what he's put in your hand? Because you can't have faith without faithfulness. Could it be that some of us, the reason we don't have bold faith for the future is because we're not being faithful right now with what's in our hands? We're comparing to other people, we're looking around at what other people have, and we're saying, God, if I had that, or maybe if I had that opportunity, or if I didn't fail in the past, or if I wasn't afraid of failure, then maybe then I would be faithful with what you've put in my hands. And God's saying, you'll never build faith. Your faith will never find feet. For James says that faith without what? Works is dead. How do you work faith? It's with faithfulness. God wants you to work your faith. God wants you to work a miracle in your life. How do you do that? It's little by little, step by step. How are we gonna make it out of this situation we're in the world? It's not gonna happen overnight. It's gonna be little by little, step by step. But if you can get a vision for the future, you're gonna turn your faith into faithfulness. You're gonna work with what God's put in your hand, and you're gonna find that you're gonna grow into a vision builder. Now, I want you to see what happens when the master returns to these guys. Here's what it says, Matthew chapter 25, verse 24 through 29, it says this. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came and said to the master, I knew that you were a hard man. What is he saying? I didn't know if God was good. I think more people are scared in our world to take risks, to trust God, to develop their faith, because they don't know if God's really for them or not. I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. Can I tell you, God doesn't want you just to give your life back to him. God wants you to give your life to him and take that life and make it to the life that God's destined for you. Don't just give back what always belongs to God. Take it, multiply it, be faithful with it. And his master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." Isn't that crazy that the Bible says that the reason sometimes we just don't pursue big visions is just simply because we're lazy. Because we don't want to pay the price of failure. We don't want to stretch. We don't want to have to sacrifice in our giving. We don't want to have to see the big vision of the church and realize that that big vision of the church is going to cause me to rearrange my finances. It's going to cause me to rearrange my time. It's going to cause me to sacrifice. It's just easier for me to skate by and just kind of be a little lazy. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money and deposit it with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him who only got one in the first place, and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. What is God saying? God is saying to you that you have everything you need to pursue the vision. The question is, what are you doing with what you have? Here's the reality about fear. Fear will cause you to be unfaithful with your future. God's saying, take a risk. So big. I know it's unstable right now, and our church is in vision builders, and we're asking people to give above and beyond. Yes, because I believe this. We're not going to let fear cause us to be unfaithful with our future. We're going to keep on letting God's love speak to our hearts and say, you know what? I don't want to lose what we have. I want to multiply what we have. I don't want the blessings that were supposed to flow to me to flow to a faithful man because I was unfaithful. We're going to keep on believing. We're going to keep on rejoicing. And here's what I want to leave with you with today. Here's what 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with what? Punishment. Disappointing God. Am I going to fail? Am I a mistake? Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not been made perfect in love. And here's what I want to challenge you with today. As we look into the future as a church, despite coronavirus, despite what's going on in our world right now, we're not going to let fear or restraint lead us. We're going to let faith fueled by love free us from the prison of fear and understand that this season will pass. So we're not going to look at right now what is going on. We're going to look at what God has put in our hands, and we're going to say, God, even in the middle of difficulty, even in the middle of this situation, I can be faithful with what's in my hand. So right now, I'm going to be faithful with it. And today, as we kind of bring this service to a conclusion, if you're watching online, you can make a faith pledge to give above and beyond your regular tithe into our vision builders. Our leaders have already went before us, pledged over $300,000. And we'd love to, you can click a link above and you can fill out the form and make a pledge. And in no way, shape, or form is this faith commitment something we're gonna follow up with you on, or this is between you and God, saying, God, in this season, I'm not gonna let fear rule my life. I'm gonna look above it, and I'm gonna look to God's calling on the church, God's calling on my life, and I'm gonna sow, I'm gonna give, and I'm gonna let love lead me through this. And today, as we bring this service to a conclusion, I wanna pray for you right where you're at. I wanna pray that God would move in your life like never before, and then I'm gonna lead people who wanna receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through a special prayer. But first, let me pray for all of you that fear would not rule us, but we'd be people of love, of power, and of sound mind. Father, I thank you for every person who's watching this. God, I pray that we would be vision builders, that we'd be full of faith. And God, we stand against fear in Jesus' name. And God, we pray that your love would fill our hearts And Lord God, would drive out fear, that we'd be people full of faith and full of wisdom, Lord. God, I pray you'd be with people through this crazy season. God, that you'd be peace, beautiful peace in the middle of a storm. And right now, if you're listening.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.